The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
I skinned my knee, or I broke my arm. But have you ever heard of a moral injury? What are some examples from the Bible? Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. So glad that you have joined us today. Grace in Focus is the radio broadcast and podcasting ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We're located in North Texas, and you can find out more about us by going to our website, faithalone.org. Lots of information there for you, including information about our Grace in Focus magazine, which is a free subscription. It is a bi-monthly publication, and it's just beautiful. You'll love the articles. Faithalone.org is the place to go. Now we have a real treat for you today. Our discussion pre-recorded from our National Conference 2024 just recently, and Ken Yates is hosting with Ellie Stratham. Here they are now.
We are at the Grace Evangelical Society National Conference here outside of Denton, Texas, Camp Copus, and I have one of those speakers with us. Not only is she Free Grace, but she is a psychiatrist. Who is my special guest here today?
Yes, I'm Ellie, and I am a psychiatrist. I was also in the Air Force, trained a lot in trauma, and I'm just really happy to be able to speak here and be at the conference and be surrounded by friends.
How did you get exposed to Free Grace, or how did that happen in your life?
So I grew up in a GES church. My pastor knew Zane Hodges, and Bob Wilkin actually came and spoke at our church. I remember him talking on the outer darkness and took notes and everything. So very vivid experience for me. So it's always been a part of my life.
Ellie, what was your breakout session on?
So my breakout session was on moral injury. Probably not a lot of people know what that means, but basically when someone violates your moral code, our moral code being the Bible, God's law, and when that causes distress in our lives. So basically they're like soul wounds that are difficult to heal from and require that there's issues with forgiveness and relationships and conflict and even our relationship with God when that happens sometimes.
Now, in your practice, do you run into a lot of that?
Yeah, so I deal a lot with that, and it just depends on if people are open to talk about it, because there are a lot of spiritual issues within moral injury, and I would argue that everyone has moral injuries in their lives. Whenever someone's been betrayed, rejected, abandoned, sin is everywhere. We all sin, and so there's a lot of collateral damage when people are just sinners. The issue is when those injuries happen, we don't really know how to deal with them.
Now, one of the things about Ellie's life that we haven't mentioned yet is she is married to an ex-Army guy, Dan, and I, ex-Army too, but Dan was a real soldier. I was just a chaplain. But one of the things she mentioned in her breakout session was that there's a lot of similarities when someone has a moral injury to what we see in PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome. Is that correct?
Right, yeah. So post-traumatic stress disorder, there's people who experience life and death situations, or sexual trauma can be within that. So it has to be a life and death situation that happens. But a lot of the people who have PTSD, they have concurrent moral injury as well. And the moral injury is the most difficult thing to treat. PTSD, there's a lot of therapy, potential medications to treat PTSD. But the moral injury is kind of that piece that people don't really know what to do with. And so a lot of the military, people who go into combat, they experience a tremendous amount of stress in combat and life and death situations than the civilian. But the civilian, they also experience a lot of moral injury. Maybe it might not be a life and death situation, but it may be abandonment, betrayal, a church split, something like that. So it happens a lot within ministry as well.
So it happens to all of us.
All of us.
There was a number of things I was fascinated by Ellie's presentation, but one of them was you gave the example of this in Elijah. Can you talk about that? You know, like most of us know the story of Elijah. How would we say, well, he experienced a moral injury here in his life?
So his whole life, his mission was to turn Israel back to God. And they were all worshiping all the idols. And he felt like his moment that he would be able to do that was Mount Carmel. The Mount Carmel experience, when he called fire down from heaven, proving that God is God and Baal is not. And he did not turn the people back to God. And he felt like he was an utter failure, and he felt rejected. And And at the same time, they were killing prophets, and he didn't know if there were any believers. He thought he was the only believer.
I am alone of left, right? Everyone else has left me, right?
Yeah. And so he's thinking, I'm the only one, and I have failed. I've failed my mission. I'm done. I don't have any purpose left. I've failed God. And all of these people continued to reject him. And I can see a lot of parallels within ministry today when, as free grace people, we are a minority. Sometimes we feel like we are the only ones, but until we go to the conference, and we're like, oh, we're not the only ones. There's other people.
Did you know that the Grace Evangelical Society offers an MDiv degree through our online seminary? And tuition is free to those who maintain a 3.0 grade average. It is a 3-year degree program, and you could submit your application now to gain acceptance. Then stay apprised of our registration periods for upcoming semester terms. Program and application details can be found at gesseminary.org. Have a look at our MDiv degree. Become an approved workman. Find out how. gesseminary.org.
Would we say then that we could expect, as a psychiatrist now, I'm asking you, we would expect him to what? To experience depression? What are the signs of these moral injuries that, you know, he's going through that we would see in other people's lives? Mm-hmm. If we've all go through these things, I think you mentioned yesterday maybe even suicide thoughts, mm-hmm. depression, those kind of things, feelings of loneliness, feeling of bitterness. What if this moral injury is not addressed, mm-hmm. what can we expect to see?
Feelings of hopelessness, helplessness, bitterness, resentment, a lot of anger at other people that have wronged you. With him, he asked God to kill him. I mean, he didn't kill himself or didn't want to kill himself, but he didn't feel like he should kill himself. But he asked God to just end it because he felt like a failure. And so just a deep depression where he was just depleted of everything. And so maybe we don't have that, a moral injury to that extent, but it can cause depression, it can cause anxiety, it can cause isolation, issues with being able to trust other people, being able to trust yourself, and ultimately it could end in suicide if people don't hold on to that hope.
It's great to hear a psychiatrist talk this way from such a biblical perspective. So, Ellie, we appreciate it. One of the things that I want to talk about is something that you also talked about in your presentation, which is how this all relates to forgiveness. And the reason I'm bringing it up is in the GES conferences and even in our literature and stuff, we're really starting to talk about this. Like, what is the biblical concept of forgiveness? And you address some of this in your presentation of how it's related to moral injuries. Can you go into a little bit about that? And I'll jump in here if I have a question or two, which I'm sure I will.
Yeah, so forgiveness was one of the keys in healing from moral injury, because when other people wrong you, I mean, you want that reconciliation. You don't want to continue to have rifts and issues within your relationships. And so, you know, if someone wrongs me, and I likely have anger because they wronged me, but God calls us to forgive one another. And forgiveness in the secular world is completely different. There's a different definition than biblical definition. And you can run into a lot of problems if you have the wrong definition.
Well, how does a secular world define forgiveness? Because this is fascinating to me, because I think sometimes Christians do this as well without thinking about it. But, mm-hmm. but go ahead.
So the secular world, they just see it as you as the individual. You just need to have positive feelings toward that individual. You just need to, basically, it's more of a, I'm going to be gracious toward this individual and not hold anything against them. But there doesn't need to be a relationship.
I think that's the key. Yeah.
So within the biblical definition, there's a relationship between two individuals, and you want to restore that relationship. Secularly, you might not even know that person at all, and they've wronged you. And the secular, they call you to forgive that person, but it's not really forgiveness. There's no reconciliation. There's no relationship there. And there's a lot of misconceptions. They think, oh, well, if I need to forgive someone, then I need to say what they've done is okay. Or I need to just keep the peace and smooth things over regardless of whether they change their behavior or not.
And so act as if it never happened?
Right. Forgive and forget.
There you go. Forgive and forget. And we hear Christians use mm-hmm. that phrase sometimes.
Right. Yeah.
But what is biblical forgiveness, as you were talking about it?
So biblical forgiveness is within that relationship where you're moving toward reconciliation and you're not harboring or you're not seeking retribution. So you're not trying to get them to pay back what they owe you. You're letting that go and you're seeking that reconciliation. But that requires two people coming to the table. You can't just have one person at the table and the other person refusing. There's not going to be forgiveness there. They need to be both at the table wanting to reconcile.
And would it be, is it correct to say to restore fellowship when you say reconcile?
You know,
this fellowship is broken. Now, the other thing that's just really interesting to me is from a theological, we don't discuss it at your level, you're way above us at the psychiatric level, but from a Christian level, biblical level, forgiveness, what about this concept of everything is exactly the same? If I forgive, there's no boundaries, there's no, okay, you've hurt me, but if I forgive you, then everything is exactly the way it was before you committed this moral injury against me.
Yeah, and I would say that is not biblical, especially when we look at how when God forgave David, David still had consequences. And when we're within relationships, we need to set up healthy boundaries. So, you know, if someone stole $1,000 from me and I forgive them and they wanted that restored fellowship, I'm not going to continue to have my money out when they come
your
over
credit card
visit, right?
Yeah. Here's my credit card. You've used this before. We're restored fellowship. I've forgiven you, but okay, you know,
things may change.
And you, do you want the restored fellowship? Tell me if this is okay to say it like this. The person who's wronged me, if they want that restored fellowship, they will say, well, no, I don't want to be tempted with your credit card or whatever. I'm glad these boundaries are here.
Yeah. Okay. Because you would be tempting them more to continue to do that sin instead of helping set them up for success within your relationship.
Well, Ellie, I just want to say, and I know I'm not speaking just for myself, but for all of us, we very much appreciated your presentation. As we're having this biblical concept of forgiveness, it's great that someone at your academic level, professional level, comes in and go, yeah, that's kind of like what we're saying. And it's supporting what we're thinking the Bible is saying as we continue these conversations. So, Ellie, we appreciate it. Thank you for your family being here. This is their first conference, and we just are thrilled to have you here. And for all of our listeners, in the meantime, keep grace in focus.
We would love to know where you are when you are listening to us. Please take a short minute to send us the call letters of this station and the city where you are listening and how many times a week you listen. Thank you. You will be helping us with our stewardship. Send it to radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. On our website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our next episode, more from the National Conference 2024 of the Grace Evangelical Society. Please join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.